Reading is taken this morning from Ephesians chapter 6 and verses from 10 to 18. The armor of God. Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert to and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Amen.
Make sure my clicker works. There we go. Good stuff. All right. If you'll bow your heads with me. We'll say a word of prayer before we get into it. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for the opportunity to hear your word, Lord. Not my words, but Lord, the words that you speak through me, the words that are written, Lord, and the words of truth. So Lord, we just ask that you take it and commit it to our hearts, which help us to get something out of it today, again, as it applies differently to each of us. But Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here and the opportunity to present. Amen. Now, if you would, we're going to visualize again. We won't do this every time. We did it last time, I think. But if you close your eyes, and we're going to do a visualization exercise. So, imagine that you're sitting in a prison cell, okay? And you have an iron cuff on your wrist, okay? There's going to be a Roman soldier beside you. There's a chain, probably about a meter and a half, okay? A chain between your cuff to that Roman soldier. Soldier may change out every 4 hours, every 6 hours, but someone is always going to be there, and that chain is always going to be there. You can't cross the room without the soldier moving. You can't lie down without the soldier moving either, okay? Doesn't sound like a very comfortable place to be, right? Okay. But that was the reality for Paul, okay? And if we open our eyes, right, just remember that context of that small prison cell, right? So Paul was writing Ephesians from in that prison cell. It's one of the prison epistles. But then also maybe think about that Roman soldier, right? So as Paul's looking at this Roman soldier and writing about the armor of truth, that's what gives him the visualization, okay? That Roman soldier is also going to be thinking, what is this guy talking about in the conversations that he has? He's armored for physical warfare, right? And we'll go through some of those pieces. But Paul is going to be talking about spiritual warfare. So if we do a little bit more of the context here, right? So he wrote five of the epistles when he was chained up this first time. Okay, roughly 60 AD or so. Nero had him thrown in prison. And from about 60 to 62 AD, he was writing some epistles. He gets released, the great fire happens in around 64 AD, and then Paul goes back to prison, and he'll write again, right? 2 Timothy, and then he'll get executed, right? probably beheaded. Okay, but he has this visualization, and the Lord tells him to then write to the church at Ephesus and say, this is how it applies to what you're going through as well. Okay, and there's going to be some points up here. You don't have to write everything down. Some of these are just for reference. We'll also jump back to some other verses. Okay, but as we go through the verses in Ephesians 6, I think it's worth calling out that when we have the armor, and it's important to have the armor, but we have to know a little bit more, right? We have to know how to use that armor. We have to know the battle plan that's occurring. Okay, so we're going to go through a couple other pieces before we get to the armor, and then we'll wrap it up with something after that as well. All right, so the first one, if I can get this to work, right? Okay, the reality of the battle. Okay, so some pieces, we have to know what fight we're in as we're gearing up. Okay, there's a mental side to this that we have to have, right? Not just the physical tools that are spiritually protected, but we have to understand the strength is not going to be our own, right? Where does our strength come from? The strength comes from the Lord, and we have to know that. Our arms will get heavy, right, if we're physically fighting. Our mind will get heavy when we're mentally engaging in debates, right? Our spiritual decanter will empty as we're being attacked throughout the days, throughout the week. We need the whole armor, right? That's important. We can't just put on certain pieces of it, or it's going to be ineffective. And as we look at different pieces of the armor and different pieces of the word, it goes together. We can't cherry pick Bible verses that we like and say it applies, oh, this way, because that's how I want to apply it, right? We have to take the whole gospel together. Oh, it already pulled up there. Okay. Then the other thing, sorry, it was transitions before. The other thing to know is that we're already citizens, okay? So if you fought in the Roman army, okay, a Roman auxiliary could become a citizen after 25 years, okay? We're already citizens in Christ once we get saved, right? So this armor is available to us as soon as we accept that free gift of God, okay? If we know the situation of the battle, we can know our enemy. And sorry, it's a little dark on that background, okay? But we're going to talk about two aspects, right? The roaring lion, okay? And then the scheming strategist that happens, okay? And the devil in spiritual warfare can come at you both ways, right? So if we look at the roaring lion, okay, if we look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, okay, it's showing Satan as loud, as visible, as we can see him, right? Gives us a little bit of preparation, perhaps, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, an angel of light, a false light, it talks about, that's offering something to us that we desire. A good visualization of this to me is when we think back to David. Okay, you think David fighting Goliath, right? And as it's going on, Goliath, big, strong, roaring, sounds of battle all around, right? David knew he could see that enemy he was going up against. Okay, but then what happens later on in David's reign? He sees Bathsheba, right? And he sees her out there, and then he desires her. Okay, and then he commits sin, sends Uriah out to die, right, lays down with her. So that's a problem that occurs because of something that he wants, right, that's not biblical. So spiritual warfare can happen both these ways. It can be the things we see in front of us, the enemy swinging a sword at us, or it can be that snare that we're running headlong for something else and we just happen to fall into. Okay, so just be aware, there's not going to be the red flashing lights every time. And I think to me, right, which would be scarier? I think it's the one that we don't see, right? It's going to be that rock in the middle of the night that pops up when we're on a boat. Okay, if we start moving into the pieces now, right, let's start with our belt of truth. Okay, what's a belt do? Wearing one today, right? It holds the tunic in place that you'd wear over it. Okay, hold your sword in place. What happens if you don't have your belt on? Okay, stuff hangs loose, right? Stuff can fall down, right? You have to have your belt to hold things up. Truth, and the truth that we know, not just about God, but about the gospel, about the world, about the enemy. Okay? Truth is going to be what holds our life together when everything starts going wrong, right? We can depend on that truth because we know it is the truth. But conversely, if we're hiding something in ourselves and not being truthful, not confessing it, right? Not acting accordingly, then we're loosening our own belt. And what happens when we're not being living that life of truth? If something slips down, right? That tunic slips down, the belt slips down as you're running, okay? Pants fall down, you trip, right? So we have to know the truth that's held in the gospel, that's promised to us, and how to apply it in order to keep things cinched together. We have the breastplate of righteousness, okay? Very important, probably one that we think of most often if we're just thinking of armor in a sense, right? Someone wearing armor, okay? Why? Because it protects the heart, okay? If you get hit in the heart, probably going to end the fight, right? End your life. If you get hit leg, as long as it doesn't hit an artery, yeah, it could be a wound, right? Monty Python, 'tis only a flesh wound, something like that, okay? A couple of chuckles, right? Monty Python, probably not biblical. But the righteousness, though, is the important thing of that. It's whose righteousness? Not ours, but the righteousness that we have through Christ. Okay, and it's important when we remember that back earlier in Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8, right? How do we get that righteousness? Freely provided by God, right? Free gift of God so that no man may boast. We can't say, I created this armor, I'm the blacksmith, I put it on, right? No, it's the righteousness that comes to us through the salvation in Christ, knowing then that we're saved, right? And that these attacks, okay, will not be a shot to the heart. We have some shoes of readiness, okay, good old shoes. So Roman shoes, what they wore, I'm not good at pronouncing things, especially not different languages, especially not ancient languages, right? But they called them caligae from what I was able to discern and practice saying. Caligae, Roman caligae. And they were sandals, but they were hobnailed on the bottom of it, okay? And so when we talk about the shoes of readiness, right, for the gospel of peace, what does that mean? Well, I think most of the time we say, okay, we're going to be ready to go share the gospel, right? We have to be ready to go out. We have to follow our commandments in Matthew, right? Even unto the ends of the earth. But there's something different about that as well, right? What do shoes do, and especially, right, hobnailed shoes? They're there to provide stability on ground, right? So it's not just bringing the gospel of peace, right, and what that means with the message to people, but it's understanding that I have firm footing within Christ, okay? Once I put this armor on, okay, I can plant my feet on this. And then when everything around me is shifting, okay, I can stand firm. Okay? So we've got our belts, we've got our breastplate, we've got shoes. And let's talk about our shield. We've got to have our shield. Okay? This is one that we focus on, again, quite a bit. We like shields. Okay, it was called a Roman scutum. Okay, you've probably seen pictures of it if you've seen Roman legionaries and things like that. Probably had it leaning up against the wall, potentially in the cell, maybe outside. But the important thing about a shield, too, in the way that it was designed to be used in this time period, right, it wasn't a one-on-one battle. It was meant to interlock. It was meant to cover the man to your left. Okay? So no soldier was standing alone by himself, right? When these attacks are coming, he's not there fighting isolated. He's fighting in the line, okay? He's using that shield to protect the other man, but that's the same way the other soldiers using their shields to protect him, and we can't forget that, right? We have to make sure that we're gathering in fellowship. We have to make sure that we're joining together. We have to make sure that we're praying for each other, that we're sharing what we need prayed for. I mean, all these things that we can lean on each other, and we'll talk a little more about that later, but all these things so that shield can be effective. Now, what we can see about here as well, he says all darts, right? And I picked arrows, weapons at the same time, right? Okay? But there are different attacks that the shield can be used to defend against, okay? Different points that are on them, different ways that you can be wounded. So we had things like what was called a bodkin point, okay? The purpose of it was to penetrate, okay, down to a very, very sharp tip that was there to find a chink, or if there was some type of, later on with metal, to try and penetrate that metal that was used in the medieval times, like against the English, against the charging knights at Agincourt and other ones, okay? It finds, with that precise point, it finds that seam that you didn't know it was there, right? You happen to say something, you happen to look at something, and then bam, okay? There's the broadhead, okay, broadhead arrow. It's going to be wider, looking like a leaf, okay? The purpose of a broadhead is attacking areas that are already unsecured or undefended, okay? And it's more devastating because it inflicts more damage over a larger area. If we're not prepared, if we have sins we're not addressing, things of that nature, right? These are arrows that can come in there and do massive damage. There's that quote that says, you know, sin takes you further than you want to go, right? Keeps you there longer than you want to be, and does more damage than you think it'll do, right? That's what happens, right? So we have to make sure we understand what that sin looks like. And then we also have barbed heads, okay? Arrows that could go in, and they had the reverse tines, or whatever you want to call them, so you can't pull it out, right? And it lodges in there, and if you try to get out, what happens? It tears, okay? Okay? It makes it harder. So when that sin gets in there and you're trying to pull it out, it's causing some of that damage to expand to be worse. Okay? Now, the good news is, Paul does say, take up our shield, what? And it will extinguish it in all circumstances. So we need to know the types of attacks that we can defend against. But it's comfort to know that shield is going to be there for us as long as we're saved, right? And it can defend against all those other different types. We have, hopefully, the helmet of salvation, if my slides are correct. Yep, right? So what does a helmet do? Protecting our head, okay? Guards the mind, right? That's where a lot of these battles, I think, spiritually are fought, right? What happens? You start thinking, am I good enough, especially? That's a big one, right? I've done something bad. Am I still saved? Maybe you're trying to justify something. Maybe you say, did God really say I shouldn't do that? Or maybe it's, no, God said this, but it meant something else, right? So we're fighting these mental battles. And what happens if you're in a fight and your helmet slips down? Right? You have to take a moment. Oh, wait, can't see, right? I've lost my vision of what I'm supposed to be as a Christian, and I have to adjust my helmet, okay? Probably not going to be good, right? So if you're constantly adjusting your helmet in battle, wondering about salvation, right, that's going to be an issue. That's why it's good to know that once we accept, right, that free gift and put on the armor, it's there. It's secure, okay? We do not have to worry about that helmet slipping for us, okay? Your vision that way can be on what it needs to be on, fighting the enemy external to you and not the enemy internal to you, right? Self-doubt is a huge thing for us, I think. I struggle with that sometimes, okay? And that's another way, if we go back to the shield, that's something we can pray for each other with, right? When we start doubting or trying to go back and say, I don't understand this. I don't understand this verse. What does it mean? Right? Let's do things together. The good old offensive weapon, right? The sword of the Spirit that's called out. Okay? Scripture itself that's here. And I think it's interesting, too, not just talking about offensive weapons, and we talk about a bunch of points that are on here, right? But swords are good and bad. If you don't know how to use it, what happens? You can wound yourself, right? Absolutely. Again, misapplying scripture. You can wound others with it unintentionally. You can beat people over the head with scripture, right? Instead of actually coming to them in their need, you're just up here on a soapbox quoting scripture that they don't understand. Okay? The enemy quotes scripture too. And you don't have to visualize this, but I'm going to maybe see if I can change your perception of something. Okay? If you remember back in Matthew, when Jesus is in the wilderness, okay, and what happens after 40 days? He's tempted by the devil, right? The devil comes to him. They start arguing. Devil comes out with scripture. Just want to run through a couple of them, potentially, right? But when he's tempted, right, by bread, by kingdoms, by being caught, what does Jesus come back with each time? What does he say? It is written. Okay? So this is not merely, right, a battle of words and temptations. This is actually, if we look at this, this is a sword fight going on, right? So offensively, a sword's being used, right, by Satan. And then defensively, right, Jesus is parrying that. So we have to be able to use our sword both ways, okay? So keep that in the back of your mind as well. Let's talk about the good old prayer, okay? Verse 18, right, praying at all times. But prayer, I think it's interesting when we use prayer, while it's not in armor, let's say, what do we do when we pray? If we're doing it out loud, we can use our lungs, right? So we'll call it lungs, right? So it's the breath that's bringing life to our body as we're doing this, right? We had some good vocal prayers earlier. If we don't have prayer, but we have the other pieces, we can still get exhausted. We can still fall, right? If we don't have that air in our lungs, as we're constantly going through that battle, okay, we're going to trip up. Prayer helps us rejuvenate ourselves. It helps us understand better. It helps us to stay on alert, right, as we're breathing. It helps us to calm down in the midst of things that are going on, right? Just like lungs and deep breaths and calmness and stillness and things of that nature, right? So prayer is like the air in our lungs that are going on, okay? And it also mentions it's not just solitary, but it's for all the saints, okay? So again, while individual prayer is good, and we're told, right, not to stand on the corner and pray, right, like the Pharisees do, and then we get the Lord's Prayer and how to pray in secret and all that, absolutely. But again, going back, we need to pray communally together, right? And then even tying back to our breastplate, if you remember, what was the breastplate of? Breastplate of righteousness, okay? The fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Exactly. Availeth much, okay? So see, this is all tying together, right? The Bible, we can't, again, not taking specific verses. Let's look at it all together, and it supports itself. Not only does it support itself, okay, as we've gone through these pieces, kind of see how they're tying together, we have to understand something else. Choosing your Aaron, okay? If we've accepted Christ as our Savior, if we're wearing this armor, okay, then we're prepared potentially for an individual battle. But again, we get tired, okay? And we can be what? Overwhelmed by an army that's out there. Back in Exodus, there was a story with Moses, right? And the tribes fighting old Amalek, right? So what happens? Lord says, Moses, as long as you hold your staff up, your rod up, you'll win. But when it's lowered, you'll start losing. So Moses goes up, holds up his rod, right? Israelites are winning. He gets tired, starts lowering it, they lose. So what happens? Okay, Aaron and Hur come up and help him, right? They come set him on a rock, and they help hold his arms up. They're not fighting the battle for him, but they're helping him. So it's important, as we go through spiritual warfare together, to have those people that support you, right, that are watching out on the flanks for things that you don't see coming, blind spots that you can't see, people that help us even train, right, back in Proverbs again, iron sharpens iron. Okay, we need these allies, but we have to choose them carefully. Because if we choose allies and trust them or go into battle with them and they lead us astray, then potentially we could fall with them, right? So one thing I do want you to take away from here, you know, not just examining the armor is, but who do you take into battle with you? Are they strengthening you? Okay. Are they building you up? Or are they weakening you? The good news, right, as we've talked about all these battle things, bam, we know how it ends, okay? A lot of verses tell us this. Paul's sitting in that prison cell. He doesn't know how his own physical life is going to end. Maybe he could be executed this time. You know, he's in prison for, what, roughly 4 years? Okay, he doesn't know what's going to happen. Maybe he'll get released. That's what he's praying for. But he's just a tool right in the Lord's kingdom. But we have some verses up here. Colossians 2:15. Okay, Christ disarmed the rulers and authorities, triumphing over them. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Romans 16:20. God will soon crush Satan under your feet, a mopping up operation, right? Paul knows how the ultimate story is going to end when he's writing this. He's preparing us to give us the ability to survive the battles till we get to that end prize, right? But the knowledge of what will happen when we get there. So if you're worried about what you're going through, if you're feeling fatigued, if you're saying, will this battle ever end? Okay, just know, ultimately, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, right, we're going to win. So amen to that. Amen to that, right? So what can we do, right? There's probably two things take away depending on your perspective, right? So if you're already in Christ, okay, take a look at the pieces of armor that God has given us and that Paul has written about. Okay, take stock of how to use them. Are you using them? Where do you get attacked from? Okay, see what I can do in my life when something comes against me to be effective back at it. Okay, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, right? You don't have all this armor yet. You're undefended in a battle that's absolutely going on. Okay? When our family first looked at moving to Ireland 7 years ago, we'd been praying about it beforehand, and we'd always felt that we needed to go somewhere else to help spread the gospel in one way or another, however that may be. And we felt Ireland was a place it was going to be even 20 years ago. Okay? And then praying about it, but coming from a Southern Baptist background, a lot of us are sent out by the International Mission Board, IMB, and they feel that Ireland does not need missionaries because they feel like Ireland is a saved country. Now, you could disagree with me, friends, right? But I believe that there's lots of people we still need to reach here, okay? There's a lot of people that are fighting battles against, right, the principalities of darkness that have been here for thousands of years, right? There are words that are being misconstrued, a sword being used the wrong way, that they're fighting against. And if that's you today, right, I want you to know, right, we can pray, we can put this armor on, right? It doesn't take 2 hours like it used to with the squire and everything else, right? If you're thinking of a knight in his armor, okay, it can be instant as soon as you pray that prayer and you're protected. Okay. But what I want to do is, let's go ahead, let's bow our heads again, let's pray, let's close. And if you haven't put on that armor, I would like for you to think about it. But if you put on that armor and you don't know how to use it, if you're worried that, yes, I'm suited up for battle, but I'm not ready for battle, if you think I'm fighting this battle, but I'm tired, okay, I've got this, instead of the Lord's got this and you're saved, right? Just take a chance to recommit that to the Lord and say, Lord, I know it's yours. But let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us that our strength is found in you and your power, Lord. As we're going to go from here today in a little bit after our fellowship, after talking amongst each other at Teen Coffee, Lord, just help us to put on this full armor of God. Fasten that belt of truth, Lord. Help us to walk in honesty, faithfulness to others. Lord, cover us with that breastplate of righteousness. Lord, guard our hearts. Help us to live in a way that honors you and the righteousness that you've bestowed upon us. Prepare our feet with the gospel of peace, Lord, so that wherever we go, we can carry your peace, share the good news, but know that we can remain firm when those attacks come. Lord, help us to take up that shield of faith when fear, when doubt, when temptation, or when discouragement comes against us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord, block those fiery darts. Lord, help us to secure our helmet of salvation, protecting our minds. Lord, reminding us that we belong to you and nothing can change that once we've accepted it. Lord, put in our hands the sword of the Spirit, right? The word of God. Teach us to know your word. Teach us to believe your word. Teach us to live by that word. Lord, practice what we say. Father, Lord, help make us a people of prayer. Help us to pray in the Spirit in every situation as a first option, not a last option. Lord, help us to remain alert in that so that we can pray for one another, Lord, and feel comfortable sharing what we need prayers for, knowing that you know things already, Lord, and we thank you for your ability to affect that. Lord, as we go out from here into a new week, wherever it may be, whether that's work, potentially not even just this week, but later on school for some of the older youth here, Lord, with our families, Lord, just help us to be strong in you and your mighty power that we have. Lord, we ask for that hedge of protection around us, physically, mentally, spiritually. Lord, we ask you to strengthen our church, guide our steps. Lord, but most of all, give us the courage to stand firm in Christ and the joy in knowing how it ends, like Paul had. All right, so may your grace go before us, may your presence remain with us, and can your peace, Lord, just fill our hearts. And in the mighty and precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.